morning. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. My name's Katie Flynn, and I'm a member here. We have a full service this morning, and we already had a great prelude by Dennis, so you can look forward to more great music and great readings and all kinds of things this morning. If you're visiting us, you can find one of these red folders in the back of the church. It tells you a little bit about what we do, and you can ask any of us for any questions that you have. You can look on the ends of your pews, and you'll see a black folder. Barbara, right next to you, if you would hold that up right here. Oh, Peter's got one over here. You can look for those. It has all kinds of announcements in there that you can look for. You'll also find attendance slips in there. If you're a visiting member or a visiting person, we ask you to fill out a yellow slip, and a member, we ask you to fill out a lavender slip. If you have prayers, you can write those on that prayer slip underneath the attendance portion. And if you'd like to share them with the congregation, you can hand them to the ushers when we announce prayer time. Otherwise, you can drop the attendance slips in the offering plate during the offertory. You can find restrooms out this door and also childcare. So if you have any trouble finding those, you can ask one of the ushers and they can help you find that. Part of our safe sanctuary policy, we ask that all children be accompanied by an adult when they're in this building at all times. And now we have a couple announcements, and first I'll pass it to Peter Swartz.
Thank you, Katie, and happy Easter, everybody. I know this is just a really beautiful time, Easter, Passover, all these wonderful holidays, and yet how many of you are a little bit confused about the executive orders, the budget, the way that foreign policy is going? How many of you are a little bit confused? Okay, I see some hands. And you're not alone. Fortunately, our church and our community are stepping up with lots of really good information and some gathering, some times for people to get together. I noticed that our bulletin, again, has inserts. We're back to the holy inserts. Hooray! No. And one of them actually talks about the teach-in that's coming up a week from tomorrow on the 24th here at University Church. A couple of Maxwell professors are going to be talking about some of these things that are going to be really helpful for us to learn. But I wanted to clear up a little bit of potential confusion about this week. There are two events with Phyllis Bennis. Phyllis Bennis is coming to University Church on Wednesday to talk about Israel-Palestine. She's a wonderful expert on international relations, and I welcome you all to come here for that. There's also another talk that she's giving this week, so don't get confused. That one is going to be at All Saints on Thursday, and it's called Resisting the Global Agenda and Protecting Our Communities. She's talking about the budget cuts and all the different policy stuff that we're concerned about. So that would be on Thursday. Pick whatever one you want to do or come to both. She's an amazing resource for us from, just amazing internationally known person. So I wanted to let you know about that. And if you have questions, our Church and Society Committee is ramping up our work so that we can all get all the information we need and especially understand how the Methodist Church has always been a voice for social justice. Thanks very much and happy Easter again.
Okay, I'd like to make a quick announcement about the flowers up on the altar. As a reminder to anybody who volunteered to deliver flowers to shut-in members, please pick up your flowers today after the service. One thing I forgot to mention, leading us in worship today, besides me, is Barbara Foch. She'll be our liturgist, and Pastor Alicia will be preaching. And our last announcement is just a quick thing about a new book study that's coming out. And I believe Ted's got a video that he'll show real quick.
It's all the things in the Bible that I do understand. That's what really troubles me. There are a significant number of people who, when they read it, are just troubled by what they find. And the Bible, which was meant to draw people to God, actually becomes a barrier for many people. You know, we find ourselves wondering, do we have to give up modern science in order to embrace the Bible? Because the Bible has two creation stories, and they don't agree with what modern science has to teach us. And in fact, they don't even agree with each other. Are the people we know who are gay and lesbian, did God ever really intend for them to be put to death? Somebody picking up sticks on the Sabbath has to be stoned to death. I mean, these are the kinds of things we read. Did God really want women to stay silent in the church? Were they always to be subordinate to men? We come across these passages, and they're few and far between, but when we come across them, We ask, really? Did God say that? Is that what God is like? That just doesn't sound like the God revealed in Jesus Christ. In the end, I hope when people are done reading this book that they have an appreciation for the historical context, the culture of Scripture, how the Bible was put together, who wrote it, why they wrote it, and then how to make sense of its troubling passages so that they can read the Bible and they can hear God speaking through it.
And now let us continue our time of worship.
Nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now, get on your way quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. That's the message. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him.
Happy Easter. What a great day. I'm honored to say that I am the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I'd like to welcome you. Welcome to this space in this time. This morning, we will conclude our Lenten theme based on the Bible verse from the Amos text, "Let justice roll down like waters." Here, over here, we have waters rolling down toward our baptismal font, reminding us of our baptismal call. Our fish from last week, naming our intention to create new relationships in the coming year, have been added to our water, and they're even down our aisle. The prophet Amos in the Bible states, "I hate, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Our worship without justice is not acceptable. Rather, our songs must move us into action on behalf of the oppressed. Through powerful music and the remembrance of our rituals of baptism, the origins of Lent, this season has offered us reflection and renewed inspiration to let our voices be tuned to the heart of the gospel, proclaiming God's love for all people.
It is the news that life and love always wins that calls us to live that truth this day and all days. For as we live in charity and steadfast love, God dwells with us. I invite you to turn your face to the light of Christ that is never extinguished here as it enters and is lit in our worship on this Easter morning.
Good morning. I'm Barbara Fote, one of the members here. Please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray together. Come, resurrected Jesus, rattle the rooms in which we are hiding. Shake the tired foundations until unjust institutions crumble. Break the rules that keep you and many of your people out of sacred spaces. Then lift from the dust and rubble a new creation. Come, resurrected Jesus, enter our lives, whisper our names, and scatter your gifts of grace with wild abandon. Give your silent strength to all imprisoned, and let your raging fire be our sign of liberty. Come, resurrected Jesus, help us find ourselves in vital places, bringing your word and freedom to the poor, the oppressed, the outcast. Call us, lead us, urge us to let justice roll down today and all days. Amen. We have a tradition here of greeting one another by shaking hands, saying good morning. I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors. Today, I'm going to ask you to say, love wins. Can you practice that with me? Love wins. Okay, say that. And then when you hear the music, it's time to return back to your seats. Please greet one another in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Will the children come forward if they're comfortable and able? I'd love to talk with you for a moment. We're going to sit here. Great. Good morning. Good morning. Some can sit behind the rail if they'd like, or sit in a circle. So we've been starting our time together with some prayer. Will you pray with me? And we have been holding on, crouching tight, but we're not going to do that today, because today's Easter. So let's pray. We've let go of power. We've let go of greed. We've let go of things we don't really need. We've let go of hatred. We've let go of fear and open ourselves and feel you so near. You've opened our hands, Lord, and helped us let go. You've opened our minds so justice may flow. You've opened us up so your peace can pour through and made our hearts ready so we can hold you. Amen. So we have been building a church, and our toolbox is right here, and there's lots of tools inside here. And I'm going to pull out our newest tool. We have all kinds of things in here, but this is what I have. This, even though it's small, this is our welcome mat. And so part of our new church that we're building together is always going to say, you're welcome here, and we'll have our welcome mats right at the door so everyone knows they are welcome at our new church. And the other thing that is in here, because, you know, I was thinking about, it's great when people come to this church. We're making a church that we dream of as we grow together. So I also thought, well, not everyone comes to the church. We're also going to have to invite people to our church because they might not know about our church, and they might not know that we believe that everyone is a child of God, and they might not know that they are beloved to God. So I also have invitations, so that part of our toolbox includes always inviting people to our church and letting them know what we're about. So that's part of our toolbox in here. So what else does anyone remember what else we have in our toolbox? Nope. They're all quiet. Well, we have tissues because, remember, it's okay to feel our real feelings. And we have an exit and an enter sign because the work begins when we leave this building. And we crossed out hate and wrote love because sometimes we make mistakes. And we have our name tags, too. So those are our tools in our toolbox so far. Will you pray with me? Because I'm praying that we can build a church that is just like what we built during Lent with these tools in our toolbox. And I know our toolbox is getting kind of full, so we're gonna might have to get a bigger one. All right, so I'm going to say that let's close in prayer. Loving God, we hope to build a church of hope and love, a church filled with justice and peace, acceptance and forgiveness, a church that just loves you. Happy Easter and amen. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming and joining me today. And we aren't going to collect fish during the last hymn this week, so you don't have to do that, okay? Just to remind you. I would like to introduce our choir. They're going to sing a piece for us today. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was so moving. During Lent, our middle hymn has been sung responsively to the scripture and the prayer poem, just like we do sometimes with the Psalms in our United Methodist hymnal. So will you please remain seated and sing welcome, the welcome song, which is one of my favorites, by the way, a song of openness to all of God's children. And that will be followed by the scripture reading, and then we'll sing another verse of welcome, and then the prayer poem, and then another song, a sung response. So let's join in singing.
Beautiful words that lead right into our scripture. I'm going to be reading from the prophet Jeremiah today. It's chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, in case you wanted to read along. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. The Lord proclaims, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. As Israel searched for a place of rest, the Lord appeared to them from a distance. I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. And so with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Again, I will build you up. And you will be rebuilt, Virgin Israel. Again you will play your tambourines and dance with joy. Again you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. Farmers will plant and then enjoy the harvests. The time will come when the watchmen shout from the highlands of Ephraim, get ready, we're going up to Zion to the Lord our God.
Let's dream together for the day when earth and heaven are one, a city built on love and light, the new Jerusalem, where our morning turns to dancing, every creature
hope you really feel that. Listen now, our prayer poem. It comes from Bishop Latrell Miller Easterling, and it's entitled New Life. As the womb of nature opens to birth new life, we celebrate your regenerative energy, life-giving God. That which lay dormant is resurrected. That which appeared dead is now alive. As buds cannot resist the sun's power, the power of your son's love is irresistible to all who feel its embrace. As we journey toward Easter, Holy God, may we be open to rebirth in our lives, to the river of blessings that will flow anew, to the growth that will be manifested through our prayer lives, to the fruit that will spring forth from our expanding love. We sing your praises for the rejuvenation of our being. Amen. Singing welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, love of God to share. 'Cause all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place.
Good morning again. Well, I was busy yesterday morning, and I'm a little embarrassed to say what I was doing, but I'm wondering if any of you in the room were doing the same thing as me. Is there anyone here that is obsessed with April the giraffe and her having a baby? There's a few of us. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not alone. Okay, good. Well, starting in February, this zoo put a live cam on April because she was going to have a baby soon. And a normal pregnancy for a giraffe is 16 months. So in February, they said, well, we better get ready because, as many of us know, babies don't come exactly when we want them to. So here's the live cam since February, and this is yesterday. So I got on Facebook in the morning, and I saw, April's going to have her baby today. Hooves have been spotted. And for giraffes, hooves come out first, not a head like with human babies. So I went to the live feed and sat there. And so I watched and watched and watched. And then the doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and I got what I got, and I put it in the refrigerator. I have to say, my mom is so sweet. She sent me an edible arrangement for Easter. It was very sweet. So that's what arrived. I put it in the fridge. And I went back to the live cam, and the baby had been born, and I missed it. Oh. But that's okay. Because then I thought, okay, wait a minute. Now I can watch the baby stand up and walk. So I didn't have to walk away from the live cam yet. So that's what I did. I watched the live cam. I watched April nudge and bring her baby. You know, they lick the baby until it kind of gets excited. And then it tried to get up. And it tried to get its legs under him. And he tried to get up. And he kept falling down. And he tried again to get up. And he fell down. And, you know, I'm just egging him on the whole way, come on, you can do it, baby, you can do it. And so eventually he stood up and then he fell down. And I watched and I watched. And you know what? I thought, this is what Easter is about. Second chances. And this baby had way, way many second chances. And each of us do as well. And so here's the baby. I heard this morning it's a boy. Isn't he cute? But that's not all that was happening on this live cam. I noticed something else on the live cam. And it was another giraffe, a friend giraffe, in the next stall right next to April. And this giraffe paced and paced and paced, keeping an eye on April, paced and paced and paced, kept an eye on April, just kept moving and watching until she had the baby. And then once she had the baby, the friend giraffe put his or her head over the side and just stared at the baby, just like I was, to see the baby stand up, stared at the baby. And I thought,
Wow. This is what God does for us. God is in the stall next to us, just watching and praying and offering grace and loving us, just being with us, beside us, always with us. There's the giraffe and the baby and the friend giraffe. See? See that? I don't know what that giraffe's name is, if it's a boy or a girl. What's that? Thank you, Oliver. Oh, it's the dad? Oh! All right, so I'm not as obsessed as I thought I was, because I didn't know that. All right, so what brought us to Easter today? Well, we had a really eventful week this week, the remembrance of Palm Sunday, which was last Sunday, and then on Thursday we had the remembrance of the Last Supper with Jesus, and that's the time when Jesus said, "Remember me whenever you eat bread or drink from the cup." And then on Friday, we remembered Jesus' torture and death on the cross. And since Friday until this morning, friends and followers of Jesus had been mourning, just devastated by this. And then Mary went to the tomb. And we heard the scripture this morning that Mary went to the tomb and the angel appeared. Because Jesus was no longer in the tomb. He was made new. Well, what does all of this mean? I bet we all have tombs, right? We all have tombs that keep us from living as God would like us to live. The one of love of ourselves, of our family, and of our community. Some of us are afraid. Afraid of failure. Afraid of what others might think. Afraid of the unknown. Afraid of not measuring up. Or maybe just afraid. We have things that are holding us back. And you know what? God is in the stall right next to us, loving us anyway, coaching us to be made or born anew, because in the end, love always wins. And we're reminded of this in the Jeremiah scripture. The Lord appeared to them from a distance. I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. And so with unfailing love, I have drawn you to yourself. God is faithful to us always. God keeps forgiving us over and over again as we stray away, just as the people did in Jeremiah. And this text recalls the new covenant God made with the people, even after they went astray, because love wins. Where there is love, there is life. And this is by Gandhi. In the end, love wins. The angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid. There is nothing to fear here. Go tell the others, because love wins." Although Jesus had followers, Jesus also was not liked by many in power. And Jesus knew human suffering, both physical and emotional. And in the end, he appeared to the disciples to let them know they are not alone. They have nothing to be afraid of because Jesus' love remains. And love wins. Love wins, love always wins, by Mitch Albom. So, the title of my sermon is The New Jerusalem. So, what does the New Jerusalem look like or feel like? Well, I'm very proud to say that this congregation, has signed the Charter for Compassion. And if you're interested in what that is and what that says and what that means, go to charterforcompassion.org and check it out. But this community, this congregation, has signed the Charter for Compassion and has said, we are going to work hard to live life in compassion. And this goes to our greatest commandment. Love others as you love yourself. Love always wins. So in the introduction of our service, we always say, whatever brings you here, and then things are named, and may you find peace here. Well, we don't just say that. We really mean that. We hope that you may find peace here, that you may feel a part of God's family, the family of God, God's kingdom. So what's the New Jerusalem? I'll quote the song from today. A city built on love and light, a new Jerusalem. And who's included in this new Jerusalem? When love wins, all are welcome. And I'm wondering, who needs to hear that message? When love wins, who needs to know that they are a child of God? As a part of the beloved community, as a part of the answer to death, destruction, prejudice, violence, and oppression. I bet it's all of us sitting here and people outside as well. So, as Easter people, let's sing the last refrain of welcome, because love wins. During this season, we have been letting go of things that prevent us from working toward God's justice for all people. We've closed our fists tightly and then opened them slowly to allow the Spirit's cool, refreshing water flow through us. But today, we don't need to clench our fists, for this is the day we celebrate that all anger and hatred can be overcome when we live as Easter people. Ready to serve, ready to know that love wins. And so I'm going to ask you to simply open your hands on your laps as we pray today as a sign of our openness to a new day for our lives. Will you pray with me? We come before you, Creator of all, with open hands. Some of us may know exactly what we are called to be and do on behalf of love in this world. Some of us are still searching. Guide us, O God. Open us to your possibilities. Open all our senses and help us be on the lookout for ways to improve someone else's life, even just for a minute. Help us to know that any act, no matter how small or grand a gesture, is one step closer to bringing the New Jerusalem closer. To bringing your will on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be your unconditional love in this world, moving closer to compassion and courage to speak up and stand up for what is right and good. Amen.
In the silence in a few moments, we open ourselves to pray for all of creation, for all the things left unnamed, the hurts of which we are not aware, and for the deepest yearnings of our hearts. Let us pray silently, followed by a spoken prayer I will lead, and then we'll all join in the Lord's Prayer. Let us be in silence. God of justice and power, we honor you this Easter day. Forgive us for missing out on opportunities to do justice through our words and our actions. Give us resurrection eyes to see where we can do more, to see where justice is already rolling down, to see where love is winning, and strengthen our courage to join in that flowing stream. We ask for your mercy, for your spirit to surround these people mentioned in these situations today where justice, love, and compassion is needed. And we recite together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. During Lent, as Alicia said, each week we've been contributing to these waters of justice by writing words on paper fish, and the fish are now swimming even out into where you all are in this mighty stream of the river. It represents our fears, our hopes, our joys, our concerns, and our understanding that we are blessed by God. And as we learned from Terry Hershey last week, we are Jesus in skin. We're equipped and ready to bring God's love to our troubled world. So as we enter a time of giving and thanksgiving, I'd like to remind you those purple and yellow slips, please place those in the offering plate. And if you didn't get it filled out, it's okay to just leave it in the pew when you leave. You'll put those in the plate as the ushers come down the aisle. But if you're a first-time visitor, please just be our guest today. We're not expecting any donation from you. We're just grateful that you are here. For others, please know that the money that you put in the envelope that was with the Easter envelope that you got, that money will go for outreach in the city, our mission program. So now, as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, our donations, and our offerings. Let us pray our prayer of dedication. For the gift of life eternal that we celebrate this day, we give thanks for the way in which these offerings will become life for others. We give thanks for the gift of this community bound and working together. We give thanks. Our choir director, Martha Sutter, has a note about our next hymn and the ending song.
Good morning. We have a wonderful tradition in this church that we always end Easter with the singing of the Hallelujah Chorus. And we invite anyone who would like to join the choir down front, come down during the final hymn. We have music. If you know it, or even if you've just always wanted to sing it, please join us. All are welcome. Thank you. Our final hymn is He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever foes may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, wherever to we fall. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my
seated so you can enjoy this. All right. So two things, just so you know, there'll be a little gathering time basically behind us. You can go out either door. And if you'd like to ask me a question or say hello to me, I will be over by those windows there at the end of the service. Yeah. So as counterintuitive as it may seem, embracing death is to embrace life. Remember, as a Christian, you are a messenger of hope in the midst of despair. Let the act of seeing the waters of grace poured over you transform you and move you to compassion this day and every day. I invite you to look around and feel the connections we have with each other. And to bless one another with these words, we have been using throughout Lent, this 40-day journey, and now say for the last time. If you are a visitor or have not been here during the series, let us say and sing this to you, and let it be a gift to your life. Let's say together, may the song you sing in your heart be pleasing to God, moving you to passion and compassion of Jesus, uplifted by a spirit that keeps you humming life's tune of love. Amen.